On the phone now, Kyle Malin, editor of the MERS newsletter. Good evening, Kyle. How are you?
Great. How you doing, Cheryl?
Well, you've got to be exhausted. I'm exhausted of all of my emails and from MERS breaking news today. My gosh, they were coming out every 15 minutes, it
Fast
seems
and
like.
Fast furious, baby.
It was. that needs to be your tagline. Kyle Malin, fast and furious, baby.
Well, you know what? The reason is because the Republican majority in the House and the Senate today released their proposed redistricting maps for Congress, State House, and State Senate. And just then a lot of comment from folks who are observing the process, Democrats, even some Republicans, on what these new maps look like. There's just a lot to talk about.
Well, there is a lot to talk about, and the chatter started before the maps came out. I mean, it got started early when they just heard word of what they thought might happen.
Well, yeah, and, you know, there's the Democrats started by talking about the lack of transparency in the process. And, you know, really, you know, in drawing maps, there is no such thing as real transparency. I mean, the most transparent thing you could do is have somebody stand outside the Capitol with a projector as they're putting numbers into the computer program, and everyone could see, you know, how things are coming about. But, you know, it doesn't work that way. It's, you know, it's like legislation that's actually, you know, introduced. I mean, it just comes out in bill form, and then you react to it, and that's what these maps are. You know, this is their proposal. They're putting it out, and now we're going to get a chance to look at it and debate it. And, you know, the Democrats aren't happy for a couple reasons. You know, on the congressional side, they're seeing one of their current members, Gary Peters, basically get thrown in with Sandy Levin, who's a long-term serving congressman and brother of Carl Levin, in one district. And so that takes one right off the table. Now, you know, Michigan was going to lose a congressional district anyway. But, you know, Gary Peters is going to be the one who's going to get the chair pulled from him if this is a game of cakewalk or something, you know.
Sure.
I mean, he's going to get the chair pulled out from him, and, you know, they're not really happy about it. And, you know, it's kind of created in southeast Michigan here some real creative drawings. I mean, if you're looking for, like, square borders, I mean, you're not going to find this here. This looks like a jigsaw puzzle.
Well, yeah, and it kind of, some of them just kind of snake around. I mean, I'm looking at it thinking, I'm glad it's not a puzzle I'm having to put together.
Yeah. And, you know, the reason why it looks like this, and in their defense, the U.S. Voters' Rights Act, the federal U.S. Voters' Rights Act, says that if you have two districts right now, which we do in Michigan, that are represented by or have as population a majority of African Americans or minorities, you have to find a way, as much as humanly possible, to keep those districts.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, Detroit basically has two districts, okay? Well, since they lost so much population through the census, in order to keep those African-American minority districts, there had to be some great liberties taken in drawing them. So instead of just being in Detroit, one of the districts had to expand out into Southfield, and then up into Farmington Hills, and then all the way up into Pontiac. So you have a district here, in one case, that stretches all the way from South Detroit all the way up into Pontiac, snakes all the way up there. I mean, it literally looks like a snake. And then the other district, which is currently represented by John Conyers, goes into Romulus, the airport region, Redford, River Rouge, and goes right around Dearborn. So, I mean, we got two real funky districts here. Now, so they were able to keep the African-American majority here, but at the expense of making some real ugly-looking districts.
Well, and when you do look at these maps, I mean, some logic seems to be gone when you look at, as you were just describing, the snake-like district that is there. Is there any fair way to do this?
You know, actually, we drew some maps here. Well, we commissioned Ed Zarpolis from Target mm-hmm. Insight to see what he could do about these majority-minority districts. And we asked them that early on. And the maps that Ed Zarpolis drew for us were also pretty creatively drawn. And, you know, didn't look all that much different from the maps that we're seeing here. I mean, if you know, the law is the law as far as making sure that minority populations are protected in the redistricting process. So, you know, sometimes that's what you have to do. And you can't split communities. And see, that's the other thing, too. I mean, for example, some communities, I mean, just the geographics of it looks strange, like Dearborn, for example. I mean, Dearborn's kind of plopped right kind of on the edge there of Detroit and then stretches into Dearborn Heights, which just is the most funky-looking thing. It looks like a vise, you know, the head of the vise. I mean, that's what Dearborn Heights City looks like. So when you're drawing this map around Dearborn Heights, I mean, all of a sudden it looks, God, what is that? It looks so strange. But the point is that they didn't want to break communities. You know, they want whoever's going to represent Dearborn Heights should represent Dearborn Heights and not just half of it, you know? So that's why we get something funny like this.
Is there a way, well, I guess I'm kind of piggybacking off the last question,
sure.
to do population rather than politics?
Oh, well, yeah, that's the thing. They have to do it based on population. On these congressional districts, every single district has to have the exact amount of people in it.
Okay.
Now, with state Senate and state House, they have some variance. It's got to be within 5%. But with these congressional districts, it's got to be to the person. And that's why, you know, again, you have some funny-looking lines, because you just can't, you know, kind of draw it willy-nilly. I mean, because you got to end up with a certain number when it's all said and done.
What is, from your point of view, and I value that a lot, what is the most important part of these maps that came out for the House and Senate today that we need to be aware of?
Well, I think here in Ingham County, I think one of the more interesting things is that Rick Jones, out of Grand Legend Eaton County, is going to be representing more of the capital region. He's going to be getting Clinton County and Shiawassee County, and actually part of Ingham County in the Williamston area, as part of his new district. You know, currently he represents a district that starts in Eaton County and it goes all the way west, right to Lake Michigan, which, you know, is kind of funny because you got three very different areas there. You know, you got Barry County, which is very farm-oriented, and then Allegan County, which is very socially conservative, and Lakeshore, and, you know, Christian. And so, you know, three very different communities, and now Rick Jones is going to have more of the kind of the capital area. I think there's a lot more similarities with Eaton County, Clinton County, and Shiawassee than he had with his others. That's probably the biggest difference for us. You know, Lansing is going to continue to have its basic district here. East Lansing Meridian Township will have its basic House district, so no real changes there.
Well, when we talked with Representative Joan Bauer just a minute ago, we talked about, you know, taking the politics out of that.
Yeah.
I don't see how that's ever going to be possible. Whoever's team has the ball, that's the way they're going to lean.
Yeah, other states have taken politics out of it, though, by forming committees, special congressional and legislative district committees to draw these things. And, you know, in other states it seems to work. And, you know, and there's a lot of sense to it. I mean, why are legislators, you know, securing themselves their own jobs? I mean, and that's what they're looking at here. You know, the party in charge, no matter who it is,
right,
Republicans or Democrats, are going to draw things to their advantage. And so that's just what you're going to get out of this, unless we can get some type of system that they have in other states.
Well, Kyle, as always, thank you for jumping in to talk with me about this today. I'm sure we'll talk next week as well. We've been, have a great evening and happy Father's Day.
Hey, you too.